Okay, so Kevin will be dialogue and I will be stage directions?
Yeah, that sounds good.
So this is a scene in which Browder of 1937 and Browder of 1932 have come to loggerheads?
Sure.
Is that how that expression goes?
I'm not entirely certain, but let's leave it in there. And
please
email us if that is the right.
Lockerheads? Loggerheads? Laggerheads? I have no idea. Is it a fish? Is it beer?
They have a beer about it.
Yeah, is it a lumber expression? So Browder 1937, ranting, losing all control over himself.
I denounce this man as an agent of Hitler. He is a leading officer in Franco's fifth column.
Browder 1932.
Liar, betrayer, party hack.
Browder 1937.
Stool pigeon.
Browder 1932.
Pigeon stools.
In a violent rage, Browder 1937 falls upon his past, beats him, knocks him down, kicks him into a bloody pulp, snatches the pamphlet from his limp hand, and tears it into 100 pieces. Browder, nonchalantly, wiping blood from his hands.
So perish the enemies of the people.
He lights a cigarette, turns to the newspaperman.
This is no time for theory. Actions speak louder than words.
Pointing to the corpse.
Having disposed of the convicted scum of the Communist Revolutionary Movement, the Kamenev, Zinoviev, Plekhanov, Bertrand Russell, Hearst, Liberty League, Kautsky, Norman Thomas, Benedict Arnold, Hitler gang, I will now issue an official appeal for an all-inclusive American People's Front.
He sends telegrams of invitation, collect, to many organizations, including the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks, Independent Order of Birth Shalom, Freemasons of the USA, Knights of Columbus, Ancient Order of Hibernians in America, Simplified Spelling Board, National Association of Brief Listeners, YMCA, Magician Society of America, Friends of the Soviet Union, League Against Reaction, American Association Against Man-Eating Sharks, Society of Mayflower Descendants, Philatelic Society, Daughters of the American Revolution Left Wing, United Chapters of Phi Beta Kappa, Union of American Hebrew Congregations, Amalgamated and Federated International Union of Moles and Midwives, Local 839, Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Eugene V. Debs, Post of the American Legion, Pickett's Industrial Union, Federation of Architects, Engineers, and Chemists, the Cloakmakers Union, the Furriers Union, and the Industrial Union of Unpublished Novelists and Unemployed Sociologists of Italian of Western Union Messenger Boys stagger out carrying the messages. The People's Front is declared an overwhelming success at the sending of messages. Discredited later labor leaders, unhappy vacillating liberals, tensant politicians of the major parties clamber aboard the bandwagon. Cheers. First reporter.
And what, may I ask, is your position on the question of war?
Browder.
We are for peace.
First reporter.
But in the event of war?
Browder, in the uniform of a recruiting sergeant.
We shall fight in the armies of all countries which are democratic and which find themselves at war with any of the fascist powers.
Lenin stirs uneasily in his grave. Second reporter, slyly.
And what about the Leninist theory to the effect that all governments are the executive committees of the ruling class and that under no circumstances are revolutionists to fight in capitalist wars?
Browder, blandly.
Things are different now. England, France, and the United States are now peace-loving countries. Besides,
the Lenin mausoleum facing the Red Square in Moscow. Within, a Red Guard, erect and motionless, stands on duty before the casket, which contains the embalmed remains of the genius of the October Revolution. At once, the sound of splintering glass is heard. Terrified, the guard turns and beholds the figure of Lenin rising from his resting place. The odor of stale fennel and formaldehyde fills the room. A startled officer appears for a moment, disappears, and rushes to a telephone in the next room to telephone the Kremlin. The Red Guard backs away from the advancing form of Lenin. Lenin, angrily.
This is more than I can stand. Do you hear? Enough is enough.
Red Guard, falling to his knees and making the sign of the cross, stammering.
Little Father.
Lenin, shouting.
Idiot, don't call me Little Father. Are you a communist?
Red Guard, still on his knees.
Yes, comrade.
Lenin, in disgust.
Then what are you doing on your knees? Get up. What do you think I am? A saint?
Red Guard, rising to his feet.
You may think that you're not, but nevertheless a woman came here 2 years ago and prayed before your casket. She begged to be delivered of her sterility. Last year, she returned with twins.
Lenin, snorting.
Bah! Supernaturalism.
Abstracted for a moment.
Have you ever read any of my works?
Red Guard.
No, comrade. We're too busy building socialism to be bothered with such theoretical questions. Why do you ask?
Lenin.
Well, in one of my books, I once wrote that after the death of revolutionists, attempts are made to turn them into harmless icons, to canonize them. Do you know why?
Red Guard.
No, comrade.
Lenin.
Well, then, I shall tell you. The purpose is to surround their names with a halo for the consolation of the oppressed, for whom the revolutionists fought when he was alive. But at the same time, every effort is made to vulgarize his revolutionary ideas, to emasculate them, to render them safe and harmless. They mummified me, and in my death they made me the head of a revolutionary ecclesiastical hierarchy.
Redguard, aside.
It sounds counter-revolutionary.
Lenin.
For 13 years I've lain here, helpless, while opportunists... Epigonies?
No idea.
I've laid here, while opportunists and epigonies have distorted the essence of my life's work. They've murdered nearly all my comrades who labored with me to create the first workers' fatherland, and those who have been spared so far will be killed tomorrow, next year. And now they are prepared to lead millions into the next world war. And, as in the last war, the excuse will be democracy.
Redguard, looking around cautiously, whispering.
You mustn't say things like that in the Soviet Union today, even if you are a Lenin.
Lenin, in despair.
I've had enough. I'm leaving.
He starts for the entrance of the mausoleum. Redguard, alarmed.
Where are you going?
Lenin.
I don't know. Turkey, France, Norway, Mexico, anywhere.
He exits and runs noiselessly across the deserted spaces of Red Square. The guard follows, raising an alarm. At this moment, Stalin and a group of military aides arrive. Commotion. Stalin, to the Red Guard, calmly pointing at the fleeing figure.
Shoot him!
Red Guard, hesitatingly.
But?
Stalin.
I command you to shoot him. Fire!
The Red Guard raises his rifle to his shoulder, takes aim and fires. The fleeing figure of Lenin is halted in his flight. It drops to the ground, lifeless, turning to one of his aides.
Issue a statement to the world press saying that we discovered documents proving that he was negotiating with the fascist powers for the restoration of capitalism in the Soviet Union. You can also say that he confessed and committed suicide in order to escape public disgrace.
An aide.
I mean to say, comrade, but who will believe it?
Stalin, smiling.
Who will believe it? Why, the intellectuals, you idiot. They believe everything. The two extremely good parts of that are, I think Turkey, France, Norway, and Mexico were all places that Trotsky ended up after he got exiled. Mexico at the very least.
Yeah.
And I assume, you know, France along the way.
The only way to get to Mexico from Russia is through France.
Right. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. That section about the consolation of the oppressed masses is really good. I quoted that when talking about Norman Bethune in my MRP, because there's definitely a little bit of that going on. Oh, yeah, I really think that we should get, like, some patches made for our jean jackets that say the Industrial Union of Unpublished Novelists and Unemployed Sociologists. I'm pretty serious about that.